Hey guys, welcome to the Tokyo Lens podcast, and as always, if you are a regular listener, welcome back. Sorry for the delay between episodes. It has been an unnecessarily busy couple of weeks. Most recently, I've actually worked on a little bit of a project where I built a handmade shelf. And really, overall, it was a very, very simple project. I literally just went out to a hardware store, picked up some wood, some brackets, some screws, drilled a couple holes, and just kind of put it together. But it was a fun little project. The video for it, which by far has probably been one of the most fun videos that I have made in 2019, just for myself, I really enjoyed it. So if you want to see what a project that I really enjoyed making looks like, check out that video. Anyways, today I wanted to use that experience as an opportunity to talk a little bit about doing DIY projects in Japan. And today I am joined with a guest, someone who you might actually be surprised that they also do and have done several DIY projects of their own, more often than not, a little bit different than the ones that I do. But today I am joined by Sherry.
Hey guys, it's Sherry.
How's it going, Sherry?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So right now, actually, we are recording this podcast episode from inside of a car.
Yes.
So that's a thing.
That's a thing.
It's definitely going to get pretty warm. Shut off the air conditioner and everything so that the car doesn't get too hot.
Right.
So today we're talking about DIY and basically building stuff, making stuff in Japan.
Yeah.
And I have chosen to have Sherry out here because Sherry actually DIY'd, basically put together your entire office.
Right.
Did you ever end up making a video of the office build out?
No, actually, back then I wasn't that, like, you know, big YouTuber. It's okay. Not like I'm like a really big YouTuber right now, but like I wasn't making like a vlog type of video, so I sadly didn't.
That feels like a bit of a waste.
Yeah,
because
that
was a good project. And actually, that was before I had even started YouTube.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'd come out to help with that as well. But today, I kind of wanted to cover some of the basics of DIYing in Japan, because there are reasonably priced ways to do it. But I think that's one of the points about DIY. It's kind of the money-saving aspect of it.
Right.
But there's a lot of places in Japan that will poise themselves as the DIY station, like come and get your supplies here, but will be secretly insanely expensive.
Ah.
And I want to help people kind of avoid that. Like, have you ever been to Tokyo Hands?
No.
Oh, boy. Okay. So for those of you who don't know, let's start with Sherry. Are you aware of what Tokyo Hands is?
Yes.
Okay. In its simplest form, Tokyo Hands is kind of like a one-stop shop fits all. It has everything from basic DIY supplies, wood, paint, sandpaper, all the way up to things like, you know, shoe polishing care kits and stuff to do leather working. And they actually sell things like leather, and you can buy bags there and camping gear there. You can buy paper supplies. You can buy puzzles, you can buy like toys and Halloween and costume gear. It's plant stuff. Like you could set up an entire garden using them. It's really a one-stop shop that kind of poises themselves as, I can't say the word poises today for some reason, that tries to position themselves as the like DIY place to be. But the thing is, they're incredibly expensive.
Huh.
It's not even close to being worth the price.
Okay.
So, like, for example, I picked up for my project, if I use my project as an example. So for those of you who don't always watch the videos, who are more podcast only type people, I guess the most basic description of this is I am setting up my office in Tokyo, my own little studio space, and needed a shelf to be able to house the incredible amount of gear and boxes and everything that I have. Now, I save all my boxes, and Sherry, you probably know why I have to save the boxes.
Yeah.
Because?
because you have to display all of them.
No, it's not. Do you remember when we built your computer?
Yeah.
Can we throw out the boxes?
No, but
because if we need to return or repair something...
You need the box. Okay.
So anytime that I've gotten anything like insured or had anything of value, I have to keep the... I got to keep the box. And so... And then once you have that many boxes, or ones that I don't need to keep but just look decent in the collection, I'm just happy to have them. So I have this collection of boxes. Some of the stuff is insured, some of it's not. But if I ever need to return or get it repaired, I've got the boxes. Even actually when I broke my Sigma lens last year, not most recently because I just did that again, they asked me to send it back in the original box. Yeah.
I never broke anything.
I break everything. So that being said, I've sidebarred pretty hard here, as we often do. By the way, for those of you who have actually reached out to me and said that you enjoy the sidebars, that they're your favorite part of the podcast, you're my favorite people. Thank you. Because it's all sidebars all the way. So anyway, in order to house all of this, I needed to build a 2 meter by 2 meter shelf. Now, this required me buying some angle brackets, a whole bunch of screws, prepping my drill and everything, and then buying, I was going to go for originally like 30 centimeter deep boards, but instead I went for 25, so the shelf would be a little more shallow.
Okay.
So that my gear bags, like my lighting bags and whatnot, would sit without any wasted space. But each one of those planks, about 2 meters by 30 centimeters, was about 2,000 yen, roughly okay. $20.
Mm-hmm.
So 5 planks together came to about $100.
Right.
All the rest of the supplies together came to about $100. Mm. So the entire thing in total was about 200.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to try and get those same supplies at somewhere like Tokyo Hands, I've probably been looking at like $500 plus.
Whoa.
Yeah. And you're not going to find big planks of wood, by the way.
Uh-huh.
You'll find little pieces of wood. So a little piece of wood that'll be like $5-6 at the hardware store is going to cost you that $20 over at Tokyo Hands.
That's good to know.
So I think... If I had to start this off with like a piece of advice, Japanese hardware stores, while being very limiting compared to North American hardware stores, especially in Tokyo, like in Tokyo, you're going to find much smaller hardware stores than you would find somewhere like here in Matsuyama. By the way, I don't think I mentioned that. I'm with Sherry right now because we're in Matsuyama, in Shikoku. That probably would have been a great piece of information to toss in there at the beginning, but it was left. So for those of you who don't know where Shikoku is, it is kind of in like southwestern Japan.
Yes.
It's its own like independent little island. And we've got this woman in the background right now who has opened and closed her doors.
Like going back and forth.
Yeah. She has opened and closed her doors like 8 to 10 times. You can definitely hear it in the background. Yeah. I encourage you to go back and count how many times she's opened and closed her doors in the last 2 minutes. Anyways, wildly, wildly distracting. So all of that being said, if you go out into the countryside of Japan, the hardware stores are going to be a lot bigger and more abundant.
Yeah.
I also realize that they don't sell the same stuff.
Probably.
Like... do you know what a speed square is? Like a carpenter's triangle is another name for it. It's a really common like measuring tool that we use just for like basic measuring.
I know what it is.
Okay, yeah. I just pulled up a picture so I could show Sherry what it is. I went into over 9 different hardware stores in 3 different prefectures, and not a single place sells this. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know what a speed square is, also known as like a rafter or Stanley speed square. Also, some people just call it a DIY speed square or circular saw square. These here are just a metal square, roughly about 7 inches, not square, a metal triangle.
It was like square?
And one sign has like a flattened edge that you can actually like lay it or stand it on something. And they're used for a whole variety of different things. One of the two biggest uses for these is to make sure that you have a perfect 90 degree angle.
Yeah.
So when I was building the shelf, to make sure that the shelf was perfectly level and that it was on a 90 degree angle, I used my speed square just to line it up. And that's how I did the tightening of the back. But the other big one is with my circular saw, if I need to cut any of the boards, it helps me get a straight cut.
Yeah.
And so those are the main usages, but they sell things that are similar to this, but they do not sell this in Japan. Yeah.
The shape might be different because, like, I remember, like, learning how to use those, like, special rulers in a shop class in junior high school.
Okay.
But I can't remember, like, it was that triangle thing or it was more like a L, like the alphabet L type of, like, ruler. But they probably, they do the similar things, similar job, right?
Yeah, they have similarities, so... Sorry, I'm accidentally knocking over the mic here. All that being said, inside of Tokyo, though, the hardware stores are probably about 1/4 to 1/5 the size that you'll find out here, which means they have a lot less stuff as well. I particularly chose to go with pine for my shelf because pine takes stain really well. You can do it in a variety of different colors when staining it. It's really strong and durable. It doesn't warp that much. It just seemed like a decent thing to go with.
Yeah.
But this is kind of woodworking DIY. But you went kind of a different route. You didn't build something. You ordered a whole bunch of IKEA furniture and had me build it.
Yeah, true.
But otherwise, you actually just built out an entire office.
Yeah.
So you ordered out furniture, but you also did all the flooring as well.
Yes.
Give me a little background on your office build-out story. Because you got your office now officially how many years?
3 years.
Officially 3 years ago. And it was just, when we walked in, it was just a big open, it almost like looked warehouse-esque space. You know what I mean? Yeah. And now it's a really comfortable little place to teach your students.
Yeah.
So what was the process for you?
Well, as I don't know if this is DIY related story, but like first, I just didn't know that a Japanese people actually hire after renting out an office or like house or something to like clean the whole place and whatnot, and I get ready to like decorate and everything. So I just like rented out the space and I went in and I started cleaning first because it wasn't used for the last like five to 10 years apparently.
Okay.
So I started like hardcore cleaning the whole space. That's the first thing I had to do.
Yeah.
And then I measured the entire space and I ordered a bunch of like a square carpet thingy that you can lay out on the floor.
Now that's actually something that you put quite a bit of effort into.
Yeah.
It took you a long time to find all your, like, carpeted flooring, right? How did you find it in the end? Did you order it from a Western company online? Did you order it from a Japanese company? Like, where did you get it?
It was a Japanese company.
Okay.
And it probably... Rakuten.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, you actually just went with Rakuten. I thought you were going with, like, a more, like, official company.
No, I don't remember the name of the company, but I use Rakuten.
Okay, I'm going to sidebar here for 10 seconds. For listeners who don't know what Rakuten is, Japan has a number of online marketplaces that are very, very popular. And while Amazon is growing in Japan, Amazon originally wasn't a thing. Like 3 years ago, we couldn't buy anything on Amazon.
Right.
Maybe books.
And it was more like expensive.
Yeah. And now Amazon is more competitively priced.
Yeah.
Amazon Prime in Japan is one of the cheapest you'll find in the world. You get all the Prime benefits, but for like $4 a month, it's insanely cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also companies like Rakuten.
Yeah.
Or Yahoo.
Yeah.
Yahoo Shopping's another big one. Yahoo Auction is like the eBay of Japan.
Right.
You get things like Merukari. Is that Merukari?
Yeah, Merukari.
Merukari, that was right.
Mm-hmm.
That's also like an auction site, right?
Yeah.
There's places like Kakaku.com
for
price comparisons and everything like that. So there's plenty of these places online where you can do shopping in Japan. And I'd say the biggest three right now are probably Rakuten, Yahoo Shopping, and Amazon.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So you just went through Rakuten.
Yes.
Okay. Continuing from there, sorry to sidebar in the middle of your story.
It's okay. So, like, I needed, like, two different types of carpet.
Okay.
And I compared, like, the square type. You can order a bunch of them and then arrange, and then you can like easily cut and then lay on the floor however you want. Or I'm gonna go with like a giant big piece of carpet, like you know, one piece, and then cut it in the shape of the floor. But because the office is used for not only the office of my own, but also to teach English to kids and whatnot. So I have to think of, like, you know, sometimes kids come in and then maybe they spill their tea or something like down the floor. So I have to think of, like, it has to be easy to replace.
Yeah.
After and all, so.
Another sidebar here. Can I just say how interesting it is to me still after all these years that, like, tea for children is a thing in Japan.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see that in North America. Like, kids don't drink tea in North America, right? But, like, that's what seems like when you have a class full of kids and you like put out tea on the table. I'm like, what, tea for kid? What? Like, it's not juice or milk or water or something. It's tea. So anyways, that was just random sidebar, and you're just laughing at me. So we're going to move on from that.
Yeah.
So you got the flooring set up.
Right.
Getting all your furniture was actually a struggle for you because of living on this, like, secluded island of Shikoku.
Right.
Share a little bit of the condensed version of the story on how you got all of that furniture, because that was fun.
Okay. So first, I thought that I was going to go to a furniture shop called Nitori. Mm. It's like one of the biggest furniture, like, yep, cheap furniture shop in Japan. And we have like giant like Nitori shop in Matsuyama too. Mm. But this is my first office, and I wanted to make it, like, because I teach English, so I wanted to go full-on, like, Western style.
Okay.
So I was like, how about I try to find furnitures from IKEA?
Mm.
But we don't have IKEA here, so first I went to Tokyo just to look around.
Yeah, you actually came out to Tokyo just to do an IKEA trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I checked. Well, before that, I did do a lot of research online, but you have to kind of like see in person.
Yeah.
To like see exactly if those furniture is exactly what you're looking for. And then after that, but I can't buy anything there. So I came home, and then I feel that because I'm a cook, I own a company. So I could order online and then ship those furniture to my office. So but I can't ship it from Tokyo. So like I reach out to Kobe, which is in Hyogo Prefecture.
But you had to like create a corporate account with IKEA in order to do that, right?
Yeah, of course.
Like those are the little minor details that make it so interesting, because you didn't just like order IKEA furniture online. You went through the process of setting up a corporate account through IKEA with your business.
Yep.
And then you went all the way out to Tokyo just to check the furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And then on that one trip, and that's kind of the impressive part. Like, I have to say the decisive nature of that, because the chair that I have in my office right now took me the better part of two full trips to decide. Like, I was 99% sure on the first trip, but I think if you have the option to go back, you'll second guess yourself. Mm. You'll be like, maybe there's something better. Maybe there's something cheaper. Maybe there's something more comfortable. And so I actually went all the way back out to Akihabara, to all the stores that had like chairs for office and gaming and everything like that. Uh-huh. And I double checked, and in the end came down to the exact same chair that I had decided on the first time and just wasted a day double checking. But if you had the option to go back to IKEA more than once, do you think you would have?
I don't think so. Yeah, because like I didn't go out to IKEA to find what I wanted.
Yeah, you just went out to confirm.
Yeah, so okay. I didn't really see any other furniture.
Well, also thank you for making me seem terribly indecisive.
But like that's what I do. Like when I bought a car, like you surprised how quickly I decided.
Yeah. Well, I tend to research and over research and plan everything if it's a purchase.
I do like, the same.
Yeah, yeah, but you still, like, this car decision happened really quick. Like, you get to a point, and then you don't go, like, I'll get to a point, and I'll be like, I think I've decided. I'm going to sit on it for a couple days now and think it over, or a week and think it over.
Yeah.
And you're like, I think I've decided, I'm going to purchase.
Yeah, and like that.
I want to see if letting it settle in my mind for a day or two changes anything or like brings up any thoughts I didn't have before. We have gone way off the topic of DIY. Right. So getting into more DIY stuff, because your office now looks like a real like office English school. You've got stuff all over the walls. You've made stuff for it. Some of it you've purchased. Outside of places like Rakuten or hardware stores, are there any other places that you found useful to pick up little DIY stuff?
Absolutely. Daiso.
Daiso. Probably. Yeah. Yeah. Can you speak a little to that?
It's like a dollar store, but they have a variety of stuff there and the quality isn't that bad. Like if you want to like make small stuff. For example, like I teach little kids too, so like I had to make little toys, but like if you want to buy from, even if it's from Amazon or somewhere, those are kind of slightly more pricier than I want. Yeah. So then I just make those my own.
You actually, yesterday, I walked into your office and you had this bucket of adorable bananas. They were palm size chubby little like banana things.
Yeah.
And I was like, these would be really great if they didn't have this like Velcro that like closes the banana and holds it closed. And
Well, that's the whole point, so I added them.
Yeah, you added. So that's a little bit of a DIY project in itself, right? So you hand sewed those on. Where did you get the Velcro?
Well, from Daiso, of course.
There you go. And the sewing kit?
Of course, Daiso.
Of course.
And the banana itself.
And the banana itself. It was 100% Daiso.
I should have, like, showed you the different ones. Because, like, if you get this impressed by just, like, bananas, like, I made a full kit of pancakes. So, like, I made a pancake, like, put the cotton inside of it, and it's, like, fluffy pancakes.
Okay.
And then also I made, like, different sort of toppings. So, like, I made strawberries and like oranges and stuff like that, so the kids can like make pancakes.
Okay, well, this I need to see.
Yeah.
First off, not to burst your bubble, it's not that I was impressed by your bananas. It was that the bananas themselves were really cute.
Okay.
But these pancakes have definitely piqued my interest. And so, how much of that material? Sorry about the garbage truck in the background, by the way. How much of that material for the pancakes did you get at Daiso?
How much? All of them.
All of it.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I love, because like if you go into a big enough Daiso, there'll be an entire like DIY section. Mm-hmm. You can get everything from tools for woodworking to tools for jewelry making. Yeah. You can get like little grommet adders, like grommet. Do you know what a grommet is?
No, I don't think so.
So, for example, if you have like a sheet of fabric and you want to open up a hole with like a metal edge, you can like buy stuff like that at Daiso. Yeah. It'll be one of the few items that's actually over 200 to 300 yen. But if you get a big enough, back in, I don't know about the States, but in Canada, we have like a craft store called Michael's.
Okay.
And there are other craft stores as well, but their big Daisos will have like little independent stores in them. Mm. They'll have like like three aisles just for crafts.
Yeah.
An entire aisle for beads.
Mm-hmm.
An entire aisle just for like different pliers and grips and, you know, screws and nails and stuff.
Yeah.
So Daiso is also a really, really good mm-hmm. place mm-hmm. to grab all that. So outside of that, I think one of the other really common and popular DIY style projects is people who do plant stuff.
Ah, yeah.
Like our common friend Emma.
Mm-hmm.
Emma owns a lot of plants.
Oh yeah, I realize
she
that,
she has a huge collection of plants. I secretly have a collection of plants myself. Mm-hmm. My favorite is the Ojikiso.
Ah, yeah, those are cute.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know what an Ojikiso is, it's got like 20 names in every country. Like some places call it the Shy Princess. Some places call it like the Touch Me Not. And basically, you touch it, and like one leaf after another, the whole thing kind of folds up and closes.
Mm-hmm.
That's by far. Probably my favorite. I've got an ivy plant as well, and I want it to like grow out across my balcony.
Oh, nice.
But ivy is actually surprisingly challenging for me to take care of. I've already killed two. I might just give up. But there's no shortage of options to do DIY stuff for plants as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like building little, another one is balconies.
Balconies?
The number of people who DIY their balcony.
Really? Never seen those.
So, for example, I think those floor squares are a really popular one. Let me DIY balcony flooring. So a lot of people like this wooden crisscross flooring. I've just pulled up images right now on Google that I'm showing to Sherry of people who will do like wooden crisscross planks and stuff like this. You can also get at IKEA mm-hmm. or Daiso.
Mm-hmm.
You find a big enough Daiso and they have stuff like this as well. So things like this, a lot of people will DIY up their balcony with something like that.
Nice.
Yeah, it doesn't look too bad. I've always considered it, but I also don't ever spend enough time on the balcony. Like the old place that I lived in back in Tokyo in Asakusa had a gorgeous view, and I had always wanted to set up. Yeah, you'd come over for like a party or two, the Hanabi Taikai and whatnot.
Yeah.
So once a year, I would have basically everyone over, right?
That's a fun party.
Yeah. And it's everyone's like from such different backgrounds as well.
You get
a couple people who like own their own companies, a couple like content creators.
Mm-hmm.
You get people who just like work for a company. You get like my friend Akari who works for like BuzzFeed and stuff like that. Right? And we would all hang out on the balcony and watch the fireworks.
This time.
I miss that balcony because of the summer thunderstorms. Those were always... But I never DIY'd out my balcony. Never did it. I never did anything with it. All right, so all of that aside, all of that being said, it's obvious that it is really possible to do DIY stuff in Japan.
Yeah.
Personally, I think it's going to be a lot easier in some ways if you're in the countryside. Because especially if you have a vehicle, because you need supplies, materials, tools, everything like that. And carrying all of this, depending on the size of your project, onto a train can just... Have you ever seen any of the videos of like people bringing like giant building supplies onto trains in New York City?
Really? No.
Yeah. There's a guy who like brought like a giant like I-beam, like 3-4 meter beam onto the train. And that's how I would feel if I got on the train in Tokyo with like DIY. Can you imagine me bringing like 5 2-meter long wooden boards onto the train
and a packed train.
Oh my God. Oh, it wouldn't even be possible. Like at no time in the day would the train be like suiteru, empty enough.
Right.
I couldn't remember English there for a second. Talk about panic. To bring on to me. Which is why I was really grateful for one part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
You see, again, for those of you who haven't seen the video that is linked down below, there's a neat little feature that the shops in Tokyo have, which is they will rent you out a K truck, a small size truck, mm-hmm. for free for 1 hour.
Yeah, I was surprised about the free part.
Yeah, yeah. It's totally free. So do you think that they would rent you out a truck here? And you wouldn't really need it, I guess.
But right.
Again, I don't think you'd be able to haul like 2 meter boards in your car.
Right.
Maybe they'd charge you here?
I don't know. I've never bought like big pieces of wood before. Yeah. But I think they do have that kind of option. But I think you have to pay like, you know, $5 for 1 hour or something. I'm just yeah. guessing, but yeah.
They also have cut services, and the average hardware store will have a service where like one cut uh-huh. for the wood is like 50 cents.
Oh, here I think it was like just 10 cents.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Tokyo is unnecessarily, unnecessarily pricey. But, you know, again, like I own the tools. And one thing that, like, I got a couple questions about is people are like, oh, I saw your workbench and your circular saw in the background. Can you do that inside of a Tokyo apartment? Like, can you run a circular saw?
Oh.
Because have you ever heard of circular saw?
Yeah, I used to, like, build.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, the play.
Yeah, because you did theater stuff back in school, yeah. right? And so, okay, so you'd be operating a circular saw.
Yeah, yeah.
Then in that case, you know they are not quiet. And honestly, for the most part, as long as I will only, if I need to do something that requires a saw, I will only do it between like 1, maybe noon and 3 p.m. Like exact midday, lunchtime, you know what I mean? Like right in the peak of the day when the area is probably going to be the noisiest outside just because right. of how many people are out there. And I keep it to, like, I'll very meticulously measure my cuts. Mind you, in the same apartment, I practice shamisen.
Right.
Which is like at least as loud as the circular saw. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, again, that's also, I keep it to the daytime. But yeah, they rented me a truck out for an hour, mm-hmm. which was really lovely, but I did something terribly, terribly unethical. It was absolutely borderline unforgivable. And I'm so proud of it. So they didn't have the brackets that I needed to actually mount the boards to the rails that I had purchased. They didn't have enough. They only had like 9 or something, and I needed 20. And after I dropped off the stuff, I Googled for home centers, mm-hmm. and I found that there was a home center like 20 minutes away by car. Uh-huh. Okay. And I was like, well, that 20-minute drive plus the, I was like, you know what? I think I can do it. I think mm-hmm. if I get into the home center, I find it right away. I pay for it. I can get back just in time and have all the parts I need without splitting this up over like another day.
Yeah.
So I did it. I went out and I got back late. It was only 2 minutes late, okay. in all fairness.
Okay.
But they didn't charge me for it.
Yeah.
They were really, really nice about it.
Yeah, they usually nice. Yeah. Right?
So that's, you know, there's little features like that I think people wouldn't expect, mm-hmm. That you can get a free vehicle rental for an hour if you buy wood at a hardware store. Like, had I not done this particular project and needed to bring wood that large home, I would have had no idea.
True.
Right? So all of that being said, the entire purpose for all of this was to kind of just share the idea that DIY is entirely possible. Do you remember the Kokedama phase?
Kokedama phase.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, so did I. So it was, how many years ago was that?
At least 3 years? No,
yeah, I would
two,
say,
3 years?
I'd say 2 to 3 years ago. There was a time where I got really into making kokedama. And for those of you who don't know what kokedama are, they're Japanese moss balls. Yeah. It is basically just a baseball or softball sized ball.
Could be smaller.
Or smaller.
I like small ones.
That is wrapped in moss.
Yeah.
And I got really into making these for a while. Like, really into making these for a while. like way too into it. I think I even put like a picture or two up on Instagram or something. I don't even remember. But and then you followed suit because I didn't stop talking about making.
Right.
I think every time we ended up on the phone or something, I was talking about making moss balls. And you're like, well, I want to try.
And we have better access to moss.
Yeah, you do. Did your moss balls survive?
I don't think so.
Yeah, mine didn't. Mine did not survive. You see, it's a huge change in environment from taking the moss from a right beside the river, high humidity, low, up to like, because I lived on the upper floors of my previous apartment, like fairly high up, and having the air up there is so much drier, and it is much cooler than, and they just died so quickly. And when I moved out, I didn't have the heart to get rid of them.
Oh.
So when I moved out, I actually had to pack up all these moss balls and just throw them out. And it was a very heartbreaking moment. So, because I loved those little moss balls. But again, a lot of the materials I got for that, I got from Daiso. So I personally have always enjoyed doing a lot of DIY stuff. I mentioned it in the video that I made, but my grandfather, my father, basically my whole family builds something. My mom does a lot of knitting. So did my grandmother. My grandfather and father built houses together. And as I grew up, I think around the age of like between 8 and 10, my dad had us going out with him on jobs, and I was doing things like drywalling or building cabinets and door frames and everything like that. So you get into making stuff on your own, right? Now, you mentioned that you've made sets for like, you know, theater and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We've talked about your office. Have you ever DIY'd anything else? Have you ever made anything else that you own? I feel like we haven't really talked about it, but there's just something about me that makes me feel like you've made stuff on your own.
Really? I don't think so.
I think if we take it sideways from DIY, like, you hand make a lot of the stuff for your classes.
Yeah.
Like, actually, this is one of the downsides of the podcast, because I can't visually show how spectacular some of the stuff that you make for your classes is.
Uh-huh.
Like, you've put together, using a whole bunch of different resources, this map of the world on the wall, and like have everybody like, and it's the most simple thing in the world. It's just a map of the world, right? But it's the most simple thing in the world. It's just a map of the world. I didn't really think that through before I said it, did I? Anyway, getting back to what I said about 5-10 minutes ago, which is the entire purpose of this, is just to give the people who are into DIY or want to get into DIY that feeling that you can definitely still do it in Japan.
Yeah.
Especially with things like Amazon becoming more and more accessible in Japan, you can get your hands on everything from tools to materials and everything in between. Daiso and the hardware stores give you all the access to everything you could ever dream of. So if you personally are the type of person who's into doing something like DIY, hand making something, trying your hand at whether it be a stand for your plants, a small piece of furniture, some necklaces, whatever it is, it's entirely possible in Japan.
Yeah.
I have never had trouble with it. Mm-hmm. It's been just as easy as it is back in North America. And it's a really fun thing to do. And I think it's also something that you don't think of unless you've been here a while, or unless DIY is just a part of you, because you'll go overseas, you'll get really into doing something, and those little things that make up like who you are, what you would do back home, kind of fall to the wayside, right? I didn't do DIY for well over the first 10 years in Japan.
10 years.
10 years. I didn't build anything. But you spend all that time familiarizing yourself with the resources, which is why I wanted to share it with you guys today. If you've gotten any value out of this whatsoever, it would genuinely mean the world to me if you guys would jump onto iTunes and leave a review. I love reading those. Thank you to all of you who have been leaving them lately. Seriously, they make my day. I appreciate it. It's so much fun. Sherry here has endured sitting inside of a car so that we could limit the echo, because the echo in the studio is quite incredible.
Yeah.
Like, actually, let's take this here. I'm going to pick up the voice recorder and we're going to go out into Sherry's studio right now, just so you guys can hear what the echo over there sounds like. Give me a second. All right, so we are in the office now. It is a considerably different recording environment.
Yeah.
it's a nice space, though. It's a nice space. Mm. And I just realized that, like, literally everything from slightly handmade furniture,
yeah,
to wall decorations, to plants, like, literally everything we've talked about today is in this office.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, also, I feel this is a pretty good opportunity to let you know that Sherry also has a YouTube channel called Sherry Y. If you don't know who she is and are like, what's going on today? I will link it in the description. And thank you to each and every one of you that has joined this podcast episode today. I hope the rest of your day goes beautifully, no matter what you are doing. And you know, I will talk to you guys again
real soon.
Oh, you did it. All right, guys. Bye-bye.